It's good to be with you on a Sunday night, and I have, through the years, had church services that Sunday night for about every church we ever were in. And if we didn't have services, we had some kind of discipleship program. Will you take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter 5. And I have a purpose in every message that I will be sharing with you these 4 nights. It's a little different than what you get on Sunday morning, I believe, but I believe it'll be the kind of thing that that will be helpful to all of us. Luke chapter 5, right above my Bible, it says, "The calling of the first disciples." One day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. When he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled the boat, both boats, to full. They began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I thank you for this word from your word. And I ask that you would guide and direct as we share the good news tonight, and that you would stir us to be a little more about what we should be about in your ministry. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On occasion, a few years ago, I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine. And as we were talking, he turned to me and he said, "Do you know what's wrong with our churches, your church and mine, and just about all of them?" Well, I had a few ideas, having been in the ministry a few years, but I wanted to hear what he had to say. And what he had to say was this: adventure. Adventure. In the church, we have no sense of adventure, no sense of excitement. We ride the old ship church tied to the dock. Now think about that. We ride the old ship church tied to the dock. There's a profound truth there. I'm afraid we hug the shore too much, you and I. It may be our most debilitating malady as believers and as a church. We fish the same holes, using the same methods. We catch a few small ones, and we settle back to think that fishless nights is our common lot. Jesus calls his disciples to a great adventure. When you read through the Gospels, you cannot miss that. And his method was to teach them by doing and by demonstration. Jesus calls his disciples for a purpose. And that purpose is not to be moored to the shore, not to be tied to the dock, not fishing the same old fishing holes, but fishing new fresh holes and new fresh places. You see, the lesson of this passage is just that lesson. You see, it's further out Beyond these doors is where the fish are. It's beyond these doors where the action really is. You see, the condition for our passage is that one day Luke was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, we read, Jesus was, and when the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats. And he got in one and he began to teach the people. And he noticed that Simon and the others were washing their nets. Now you need to, that's a key part of this passage. It was morning and they'd fished all night and they'd caught nothing. They had fished all night and they're professional fishermen. They're not weekend fishermen. This is their livelihood. They were weary and tired and disappointed. I feel quite certain that as their boats, other boats were around them, but Jesus chose these two boats. Surely he had made contact with them. He knew who they were. Jesus saw beyond their disappointment and their sense of failure to material for world changers. Now, do you hear that? He saw beyond their failures and beyond their disappointment for conditions for world changers. The grand adventure of discipleship begins at the end of fishless nights. I've been around the church too many years. And Jesus invites us to adventure. If we wash our nets, let me explain. Imagine how Peter and Andrew must have felt. We associate with them. We sit in our little vessels. We do the very best we can. We've caught a few men and women. We have seen some come to the Lord Jesus. But for the most part, we're not doing a good job at it. And we're called to witness and we do the best we know how. But we're scared silly. I remember one time after preaching in a rather large church, the lady didn't see me coming out. I was coming out a side door. And she said, "I'm going to never hear another evangelist again." And the lady with her said, "Why?" "Because he makes me aware of the things I ought to be doing and I don't need to be told." Well, we all feel that way sometimes. And maybe we should. We take the net of prayer. We have prayed. And sometimes we feel our prayers are never answered. One lady said to me not long ago, she said, "I feel like they're sticking to the ceiling." We have the net of commitment. When we came to Christ, we were ready to go. And we've walked and we've done the best we know how. And it seems as though the more we walk, the more we do, we just come up a little short. We know what it is. We can identify with Peter. We know Peter. We know what it is to come in and not have any fish. We know what it is to come in and be disappointed. You see, here's the point. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, this is the point. Jesus' net washers, men and women who have come in after fishless nights, are those he makes into witnesses. I've been challenging churches for over 50 years. I've been going to churches and saying, "This is what you need to do. If you do this, I think you'll win some people to Christ. I think the church will grow." And I give challenge after challenge after challenge. And people say, "Well, but we've tried that and we failed." Wonderful. That's where it all starts. It all starts when you go out the door. And the first person you talk to about faith in Christ, and they're not interested. That's when it all starts. It doesn't start here inside the building. It's out there. That's where the action is. Jesus must have known Simon quite well, because they were familiar with each other. And Jesus freely gets into his boat and he tells Simon to push out just a little bit from shore. Jesus was sitting. I want you to get the picture on the boat. And he pushes out a little bit from shore and he's sitting there sharing with the people. Now, a little bit from shore is where we start the great adventure with Jesus. There's not much danger, a little from shore. This is a little from shore. There's not much danger here. This is comfortable. It's air conditioned. This is a little from shore. Jesus says, they're just out there and pushed out a little bit. We can hang on to every word that's said. We're really comfortable. A little from shore. But you see, our adventure begins right here. Many have speculated what Jesus said. I don't know. It doesn't say what he said. But I think he says the same thing that he says to you and me, a little from shore. I've heard him all over and over again. Denying self, about following him, about a farmer plowing a field, not turning back, about praying and knocking at heaven's door, about a non-quitting spirit, about meekness, about forgiveness, all of those things, a little from shore. And then comes the challenge. Can't you see Peter cleaning the nets, listening to Jesus? And verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Here's the picture. Up to this point, Simon had been hanging on every word of Jesus. After all, I think there was a sense within him and the others that soon they would be following him. But he was hanging on every word and listening to all of them for a while. And he knew what was going on. And all of a sudden, Jesus entered into his area. Jesus moves into, he's a fisherman. And Jesus moves into his area. He offers him a challenge. I want you to look at what he says. He says, Master, we have worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Do you pick up on it? You pick on this sort of a half-hearted commitment? Because you tell me to, I'll do it. But we've worked hard all night. I've heard churches say many, many times, when I would go in and do consultation or go in to meet with sessions, they would say, you don't realize how hard we've been working. We've been working hard. Really hard. And Jesus just says, that's okay. Just go out a little further. We're going to catch some fish. We do both of these things that Simon did. First, we go with Jesus in the areas we know he knows everything, which is everything. And then we buck the commandment that infringes on our territory. Bruce Larson has this to say. He said, have you ever felt that Jesus knows about spiritual things, the kingdom of heaven, God, prayer, and when it comes to practical affairs, running your business and your home and your church, you're the expert? Peter had just that problem. He was skeptical about Jesus' helpfulness on a fishing trip. Larson tells about a friend of his named Sidney. Sidney was an engineer in New York State when Larson was a pastor there, and he was a chief engineer in a laboratory that produced sound equipment. And at a prayer meeting one night, he said, you know, we had a strange thing happen. We had 200 amplifiers that needed to be shipped. It was a special order. And we took them off, and then none of them worked. We didn't know what to do. We checked everything. We worked on everything. And he said, I went into my office and closed the door and I began to pray. I said, Lord, what are we going to do about this? I've got these amplifiers that have to be shipped. And the thought came to me to cross two wires. So I got off my knees, went out in the plant, and we crossed the two wires. And all of them worked. Every one of them. We shipped them. And this is what he said. All those sets were delivered in perfect working order because Jesus demonstrated that he knew more about electronics than I did. And Bruce Larson has this to say, it sounds miraculous, and many of us can report a similar kind of miracles. But even though miracles are not the basis of our belief in God, he can use them to get our attention. I believe that Peter has an acquiescent faith. You have that, I have that. We consent quite casually. Years ago, at presbytery meetings, we used to bring our minutes from our sessions, and they would be passed out, and an elder and the minister would read the minutes and then document the things that were going on there. And I got the minutes of a little mountain church in North Carolina. I could hardly read the minutes. They were not well written and hardly readable. But I did read it, but one part stood out and has stood out in all of these years. And that was that this book said the preacher asked the session if it was all right for him to have a revival in the church. And the session said if the preacher wanted to have a revival in the church, he could have a revival in the church. Well, that's the kind of acquiescent faith. If the preacher had said, we want to win all the people in Anderson to the Lord, that session would have said, well, if the preacher wants to win all the people in this town to the Lord, let him go out and win all the people in this town to the Lord. An acquiescent faith that just sort of goes along on the side. We're tired. And we're weary. We have launched our boats. We have dropped our nets. We're none the better. And then comes another challenge. Be it from Jesus or an employer or a preacher or an old evangelist. It says you got to get out in the deep water. Jesus' call can be very personal. We have prayed and we think that we're good at it. We think that we pray and we and yet all of a sudden the Spirit comes to you and says, you know, there's levels of prayer that you need to know about. That's happened to me just recently. Very recently. I pulled from my book, from my library, Vance Havner, Intercessor by Norman Grubb. I don't know any of you have ever read it. Vance Havner was a part of the Welsh Revival in the 1904 and forward. He set the principles for intercessory prayer that had been followed for years among many Christians. And as I read that, the first thing that Vance Havner says is that we have to have identification. Identification with the people we're praying for. To the point we almost feel their hurts and their pains. This book is filled with many times when Vance Havner felt the pain and the heartache of the people he was with. I remember some years ago, was conducting a meeting in Mississippi. And the pastor had left the church prior to my coming, so they asked me to sort of do some pastoral work while I was there. And we had morning Bible study, and there was a special lady. She would come to the Bible study and leave early. She would come to the night service and leave early. And I would visit in the hospital. And one evening, I went a little early so I could get back to the church on time. And she was there. I didn't know that her husband, I'd visited him several times. She said, Pastor, I have something to ask you. She said, last night, I had a call from the hospital. But she said, before I had a call, I had a dream. I felt all of my husband's pain inside me, all of it. And then the phone rang and the hospital called and said, you need to come. She said, I've been praying for him all day. I went to bed at night, sleeping in prayer. She was identifying with him. What would happen if you and I would identify to the people who walk by the street every day? prostitutes, drunkards, poor people. I was so happy when this church came to this place because I knew the needs of the street back here beside you. Young black kids who need tutoring and help. I know, I've visited some of them. I've talked with some of them. They need. That's the fishing ground. Outside the door are the fishing grounds. Obedience brings results. That seems to be the bottom line. Jesus wants... I'm way off my sermon, folks. I'm way off my sermon. But I'm going to keep going. When we will obey the Lord and do what He says to do, something will begin to happen. And the most amazing thing is when they went out in the water, and I've often wondered if Peter says something to one of the other guys, I don't know what's going to happen out here. They put the nets down. Notice this when you read your text when you go home. Prior to this, he just calls Jesus, gave him a casually said, Lord. Now he realizes who Jesus is. When he sees this catch of fish, he falls down and he makes confession of his sins. And he's aware of who Jesus really is now. You see, that's what the difference was. Out there. I remember seeing people many times. The first time that they accepted, they led a person to the Lord, and they would come and share with me. And they would be shouting, and then they'd be crying. The joy of seeing something happen. I remember a young couple that had been married maybe a year or two, but they felt impressed, and they were just getting started. Both had jobs. And they just got started tithing. And their family came to them and said, now, don't start at 10%. Start at 5%. Build up. No, we believe God wants us to tithe. And they started tithing. And some years later, I saw Bob. And Bob said to me, he said, we knew Jesus. But in our weak act of tithing, we discovered His full ways. And he began to tell me all the blessings that had come because he moved out into deeper waters of tithe. Don Dunkerley, the late Don Dunkerley, who was the founder of Proclamation International, wrote me a letter on occasion and said he went into a church. It was not a large church, maybe a church the size of this. And he was talking to them about missions. And the church decided that they would take on a number of missionary support beyond anything they could afford. Don told me, he said, 5 years later, 40% of their budget goes to world missions. And the church is growing and people are being saved because he moved out into the deep waters. It's not in here. This is where you get the lessons to learn how to get fishing out there. It's out there. Every Sunday I come to church. I wonder why somebody's not out passing bulletins out on the street as people go by. Why not? They may not be as dressed as nice as us as we come in here. They may even be smelly and dirty. That's where it is. It's out there. It's always been out there. Outside is where the fish are. Jesus doesn't call us to be spectators. Jesus doesn't call us to enjoy being Christians. Jesus called to us to you and me is to bring people to Christ. To win people to Christ. I get a call at least 3 times a week now from she's become a dear friend, a waitress in one of our restaurants here in town that I've known for many years, who's quite sick. And she calls me on a regular basis. She says, "Preacher, pray for me." And one day I just said, "How's it going with you? How's your faith in Christ?" Oh, she said, "It's good, but it's gotten better since I've been sick and since I've known that people are praying for me." You see, there are people out there. I read of one of the great adventures of Jesus, a lady in Washington, in Spokane. This little lady walked the street. She's now deceased. She walks a street around Seattle, near the University of Seattle, every night. And quite often, someone would come and jerk her purse from her. And they would turn the corner, and then they opened this purse up. There would be a note in there. And the note said, "My dear friend, you must be in great trouble if you needed to steal this purse. I'm sorry for you, and I love you, and I believe God loves you and wants to help you. So do I. So here's my address and my phone number. Give me a call." That's fishing. You see, that's fishing. Jesus wants to make us fishers of people. I was pastoring in Bristol, Tennessee. We trained 6 elders to do evangelism. I'm never in a church that I didn't train. And I have 2 former members of the church sitting here tonight, of churches I pastored. I believed in evangelism, and I trained people to do evangelism. So I trained these fellows. They came every night, 4 nights a month. And on the first Sunday, the first night of the first of the next week, they were to go out. So I sent them down, 2 of the guys down at the foot of the hill, to a family where they were in the church. They were committed Christians, and they really loved, the family loved the Lord, but the father was a nice guy, a good guy, but he wasn't a Christian, and he had an alcohol problem. So these 2 fellows went down, and they did everything. Now you can imagine, this was the first time they'd ever done this. They'd been trained, and they did all the steps that they'd been taught. I don't even remember what system we were using in those days, but they did all the steps, and he was agreeing with every step. And they came to the last one. "Do you believe that God may be calling you to accept Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes," and he fell on his knees. Well, the one guy said to them, "Now what do we do?" And one of them said, "You hold him down, and I'll go get the preacher." Now, the point is, they may not have done it right, but they did it. They may not have done it perfect, but they did it. It's out there, folks. It's outside the doors. I know you're looking, making plans, and having conferences about what you do. Just get up and go out there and find you some. No conference in the world is going to make you do that. You have to do that. Get all the principles together and go out and catch a few. You get your nets full. They're out there. Well, I apologize to you because I have not preached the sermon I came to preach, but I preached what was on my heart. And if it does any good and anybody goes out fishing and you catch one, let me know about it next time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. We thank you for this old evangelist. I just do what I've always done. And I just pray now that this word has meant something to somebody. And Lord, that you would strengthen us and lead us to go forward and do what you would have us to do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.